Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
This week has been a momentous week in U.S. Government policy, of course, a history of with the inauguration of Joe Biden. So much has been going on. And now all eyes are turned toward how the Biden administration will not only tackle COVID and the economic problems at home, but what its relationship will be overseas with governments, with trade, et cetera. Joining us now is Alex Feldman, the chairman, president, and CEO of the U.S. ASEAN Business Council, joining us from the Washington, D.C. area. Alex, great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Great to be here, Glenn. It's fantastic to see you, Janie, and thank you so much for having me this morning. I'd love to be back in Singapore physically, but you're bringing me back virtually is just as good. So I'm looking forward to a great conversation.
Well, I know you're usually on the road about, what, like 10 months out of the year or something. We probably see you more here in Asia than your friends probably do in the U.S.
Well, it's been a shock to the system. I haven't moved really from my house since March 7th. I got back from a trip from Vietnam and really haven't left the Washington, D.C. area at all for 9 months. That's the first time in 30 years.
You must be in a travel withdrawal of sorts, although you're probably getting used to having some good food for a change, not just airplane food.
Well, actually, I was going to congratulate you and Singapore on the hawker culture being recognized by UNESCO. And also it makes me, you know, as I told you when I agreed to this, you owe my wife at some point some pepper crab. And we really miss the food back in Singapore. So.
Well, it will be my pleasure to treat you both. Hopefully both will come back and bring your daughter as well. And my thanks for coming on. I know it's late in Washington right now on a Saturday night for you, so I do appreciate your time. But your op-ed piece in Foreign Policy magazine really caught me this week, talking about your view of what the Biden administration needs to do sooner rather than later to re-engage with ASEAN when it comes to trade. Take us through some of the main points of your article, Alex.
Well, sure, Glenn. Thank you. And look, the ultimate goal is both Ambassador Wagner and Steve Okun mentioned, is to try and get back to TPP. As Steve pointed out to you, TPP is still live, even though there is a CPTPP agreement as well that's actually been implemented. That's the ultimate goal. But the reality of politics in Washington right now and politics across the country is that that's probably not in the cards in the first couple of years. Mm. But trade is so important, and getting the United States back into a leadership role in trade is really critical. As Minister Balakrishnan told me a few months ago, in Asia, trade is strategy. So you can't do anything when it comes to America's geopolitical ambitions if you're not engaged in trade. And I did have the opportunity in 2009 to hear that directly from Lee Kuan Yew as well. So I know that that's a consistent message of the Singapore government. And the big question is, okay, if TPP is not on the cards, how do we get back? And the way that I see us getting back, and again, that's been alluded to earlier on your show, is through limited sector-specific agreements. And I would argue that the digital economy offers the most viable and most far-reaching agreement that we can do, and that that path runs right through Singapore. Obviously, Ministry of Trade and Industry in Singapore has led the way with its digital economy agreements with Australia, New Zealand, and Chile. And we want to be position America to be as close to the next agreement that Singapore does as we can. The great thing about digital economy agreement principle is that it does not seem that it would need congressional ratification in the United States. Hmm. That is looking at what the United States did under the Trump administration with the U.S.-Japan digital trade agreement. Because of that, and because of what Steve Okun talked about earlier in your show with the TPA or the Trade Promotion Authority Act, that we really need to negotiate big, far-reaching agreements. By not having to get congressional ratification, a digital economy agreement will be something that the Biden administration can politically do over the course of this year. And with Singapore, I think we can do it very quickly, given the fact that we spent 6.5 years talking about the digital economy or e-commerce chapter of the TPP. Sorry, Alex, if I can just jump in.
Sorry about that, because that, that brings up a, an important point, which was in the 2016 campaign, Hillary Clinton was for TPP before she was against it. Of course, the Trump administration was against it. But the Democrats turned on TPP when unions and others in the U.S., largely through a disinformation campaign, decided that TPP was not in, to the best advantage of the American worker and Americans in general. Is this perception going to be hard for Biden to change? Because once he brings up those three letters, all the same old arguments are going to come back again, right? Is it feasible that he can change minds on that, hearts and minds?
Well, I hope so. I mean, his pick of Katherine Tai as the U.S. Trade Representative designate, she has to be confirmed by the Senate before she can take her full responsibility.
Sure.
But is a great one. She really helped garner the U.S.-Mexico agreement, the successor agreement to NAFTA through the Congress, and they had more support, congressional support, in the House of Representatives than any trade agreement it has ever had. And that was partially because she brought the unions on and she brought labor on and she ensured that working with USTR and Ambassador Lighthizer, that they found a way forward that would be acceptable to those diverse domestic political concerns.
Yeah.
So I think there's an opportunity.
Yeah. Japan is the chair for CPTPP, and China is knocking on the door for that arrangement. But China is also, well, China is part of RCEP. Now, you know, how will these dynamics play out? Because, you know, China obviously is increasingly, you know, having a very proactive stance and you know, probably a very strong stance on this. And Japan has that delicate balancing act. How will this, how do you see this playing out?
Well, look, you know, I can't speak for the Japanese government, and they'll do what they're going to do. But from the American business community, we welcome the Chinese to come into an agreement like CPTPP because it will raise the standards that we're complaining about. And again, that's outside of my area of responsibility. I'll just look at Southeast Asia. But you know, look, if China comes in and plays by the rules and is part of the CPTPP framework, I think we'll see that very positively in the American business community.
Alex, you know, your job, as you just mentioned, you look at a lot of these big picture, very important trade deals and strategies that happen. But when we think about individual businesses, you know, owners that might be listening right now to us here in Singapore or across the region online, what can they do, or can they do anything with a new Biden administration or the new spirit that might be going across the U.S.? In advance of any of these big deals coming to fruition?
Well, certainly in Singapore, we have this U.S.-Singapore Free Trade Agreement that was enacted in 2004, went into effect in 2004. And that's a great agreement that allows Singapore companies as well as American companies to access each other's markets. And that has grown trade exponentially in the time since it was put into force again in 2004. So for Singapore companies listening to you, there's a great opportunity that exists today. What we want to do with these digital trade agreements is update the chapters in that 2003 agreement that will allow for participation in Singapore companies in the digital realm. And, e-commerce is a great example. And you've got some amazing companies based in Singapore like Lazada and C Company. And, obviously we'd love to see more American companies do more in Singapore as well. So updating the Singapore FTA would be a great thing to do.
Alex, a few weeks ago I had Dane Chamorro on. I think you may know him from Control Risks. He used to head up the office here in Singapore. Now he's back in Washington, D.C., based there. And Dane was talking – we were talking about trade, and this was before the inauguration. And he made the point, and I thought it was a good one, that so much of the trade that happens between individual companies and going back toward the U.S. really starts at the state and local level and not the federal level. And his point was, hey, if you're a business, you're not sure about trade policy in 2021, you know, go directly to California or go directly to the state that you want to do business with first and start there. What do you think about that perception or that plan strategy in terms of trade flows between ASEAN and the U.S.?
Well, I think it's a good one. Obviously, local trade is important. The U.S. Commerce Department does have local offices across the United States that can be helpful for Singapore companies, and obviously going through the U.S. Embassy can work. Like anything, starting small and growing it makes sense, and starting with a state as big as California. California is bigger than a lot of countries.
Right.
So it's not a bad place to start if you want to start somewhere. It's obviously got a huge Asian American population, a huge lean towards the Pacific, since it sits on the Pacific. So it makes a lot of sense to start someplace like California, but other places like Texas and my home state of Pennsylvania also aren't bad places to start, but you got to start somewhere. So Dane makes a good point, but I'd also encourage you to work through the U.S. Embassy and the Commerce Department's regional trade offices.
Well, what is ASEAN's role in all of this? How can ASEAN help nudge things along?
Well, ASEAN is a dynamic opportunity for businesses from all over the world, and certainly American businesses. What we've seen in ASEAN is the movement of supply chains from China to ASEAN. Vietnam's been the largest beneficiary of those supply chains, but others, including Indonesia and Thailand and Malaysia, are also picking up new investments, even during the COVID-19 crisis. But much slower than it would have been if we did not have the crisis that we have. ASEAN's role is really the fulcrum of trade, the fulcrum of the pivot that Kirk Campbell talked about earlier in the show about Kirk Campbell's pivot to Asia. I've been in touch with Kurt as he gets settled back in the White House and helps lead our Indo-Pacific strategy from the National Security Council.
Right.
But ASEAN is critical to it all. It's a fulcrum. So RCEP started in ASEAN. TPP was started by the P4, which Singapore led. So it's critical to our engagement in Asia, and it's critical of a market for us. I mean, you've got an incredible digital market in ASEAN. It's going to be projected to be worth $300 billion by 2025. I actually will make a bold prediction on this show that will be met well before 2025. Mm. You've got 380 million young people in ASEAN. That's an incredible market. That's almost 20% bigger than the entire population of the United States. And they're young, they're tech savvy, and they're online, and they're ready to do business, and you're seeing the rise of ASEAN unicorns across the region, but particularly in Singapore and Indonesia.
Yeah, Alex, and I'm loving these comments from you, because this gets out of the realm of speculation and into hard data, hard facts, and years of experience that you have had dealing in this part of the world. You as you mentioned before COVID, you were here often. You've lived here, and you know the mindset of many of the major players. And I have a couple questions from Tricia Craig, one of our viewers right now on Facebook Live. And Tricia, of course, is from Yale and U.S. College right here in Singapore. And her questions are twofold. First is, ASEAN will be the fourth largest economy by 2030, just behind the EU. And yet it's not nearly as much on Americans' radar, in her perception. What do we do to raise the visibility of the region with Americans? Second question, TPP includes Pacific nations of Latin America. Where do you see Asia and Latin America trade developing?
Well, the second question I'm going to have to give a pass on. I appreciate it, but I just don't have the insights for what's happening between countries like Mexico, Peru, Chile, and ASEAN. But certainly going forward, there's so much to offer in ASEAN regarding sorry, could you just repeat her first question?
Yeah, sure. The first one was about the profile of ASEAN. And obviously, you work closely with governments and trade people. They all know about ASEAN, right? I think Trisha's question was more broadly about the American public, American business in general. How can they get more eyes on ASEAN as a trading partner?
Right. Thanks, Tricia. That's a great question and something I've been working on for 12 years. I am challenged by it. We work on it every year. We're actually coming out with the fifth edition of Why ASEAN Matters for America later this spring. And that's one of the vehicles that we work with the East-West Center in Honolulu and their D.C. office, as well as ISIS in Singapore, to try and change that narrative. But we go around the country when we're allowed, when we used to be able to travel. We bring the ASEAN ambassadors to the United States around to meet the governors and the mayors and the business communities of the states around the country. We do the same thing with the U.S. ambassadors, and we're trying to change that narrative every day. So it's challenging because there's such a great opportunity in ASEAN, and having to come together as the ASEAN Economic Community in 2015, it's not just a fiction, it's a reality. And as those trade barriers come down across the region, and as we tackle the non-tariff barriers, the opportunity grows. And again, the biggest opportunity, I think, Tricia, is to get a digital economy agreement and then TPP on the agenda of the Biden administration. And that in itself will help raise the profile of first Singapore, but then I hope it will be an agreement that will be rapidly replicated throughout ASEAN.
Well, you mentioned Indo-Pacific, and we've seen the term increasingly used as well. There seems to be a shift from the word APEC, to Indo-Pacific in a lot of the literature as well. Does this signal a sort of a geopolitical shift in emphasis?
I think it is, and I wasn't sure if the Biden administration was going to continue that approach, but clearly they have. Kirk Campbell is the coordinator for the Indo-Pacific at the National Security Council, and I think that it was something that they would, the Obama alumni would say that they originally started to talk about. So there's APEC and APAC and Indo-Pacific. So you were talking about Asia Pacific or APEC.
Yes.
I do think there's a movement to include South Asia, particularly India, in our thinking about the region that the United States is part of in the Pacific.
So ASEAN is part of the RCEP, but not part of the CPTPP, which we've been tripping up all morning over. How does that augur in terms of the dynamics and how are the two going to be sort of reconciled? Because ASEAN's in one with China and not in the other.
Well, that would be a good question to ask ASEAN. ASEAN is in CPTPP because Singapore and Vietnam have actually ratified the agreement.
But not Malaysia.
Malaysia and Brunei have signed it, and I keep talking to the governments, and they keep telling me that they will get there. And then Indonesia, Thailand, the Philippines have all said they wanted to be involved in CPTPP at various points in the last 12 months, including the Philippines more recently with Secretary Lopez pushing his Department of Trade to start to get ready for CPTPP in the Philippines. So it's possible that eventually ASEAN will get there. Obviously, the smaller countries like Laos, Cambodia, Myanmar will be more challenged. But I think that it makes sense, and RCEP is a great way to bring them in the short term. TPP is a little bit of a higher level agreement. It's a little bit more to it. But, anything that signals that ASEAN is leading trade and trade is back in the world was a really important signal in November of last year. So I take my hat off to Singapore and MTI and the government for leading the way in RCEP and getting that done. Even though they had wanted to get it done in the Singapore chairmanship year, it did get done in Vietnam's, and we're excited that it's there. And hopefully ASEAN will come around and add some more countries to CPTPP as well.
Yeah, we're talking with Alex Feldman of the U.S. ASEAN Business Council. Alex, last question. We have just a couple minutes left, and it's a big question, but as best you can answer it, COVID-19 cannot be ignored when it comes to talking about trade and business around this region and with the U.S. Each country is handling it so differently. We just had our travel bubble between Hong Kong rescinded last month after a spike in Hong Kong. Of course, they're having a huge problem right now. From your perspective, the various ways that various countries in this part of the world are dealing with COVID are really hobbling trade and the ability to communicate and fly personally, et cetera. What do you see? Is there a logical way forward to deal with COVID on a regional basis that will help trade move forward?
Well, obviously, Ong Yee Kong and the Ministry of Transport in Singapore are leading the way in that respect. And I agree with them that testing is going to be critical. Obviously, vaccines and immunization will be a big step forward. But I'm just going to leave you with one thing to think about, and that is, despite all the contractions in trade around the world, and particularly overall for Singapore, Singapore's year-on-year growth in trade with the United States, this is Singaporean exports to the United States, for the first three quarters of 2020, grew by 17% to the United States.
Okay.
So we're a great market for Singapore. For ASEAN, it grew 10.4%. So there's a great opportunity. Unfortunately, American exports shrunk, but that's a different story. But I think the key is really testing and vaccines, and that's all starting to happen. And Singapore is leading the way, and hopefully the travel bubble with Hong Kong, maybe with Thailand, will come back into fruition. So thank you for having me, Clint. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Alex. Your article is Trade Can Drive a Revised U.S. Strategy in Asia. That is in Foreign Policy. You can see that online. The author, Alex Feldman, with us today. Alex is the chairman, president, CEO of the U.S. ASEAN Business Council. Always great to talk with you, Alex. Thanks so much. Thanks for taking time out of your Saturday night.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks, Janine. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Alex.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.